Hello and welcome to So Much More Than Cancer. I am your host, Denise DeSimone. Two things to know about this podcast. If you have been diagnosed with cancer, we are here to support you in knowing that you are so much more than a diagnosis. Secondly, we are excited to talk about so much more than cancer. So let's be brave, let's have some fun, and let's get after it. Hello and welcome to this episode of So Much More Than Cancer. I'm very excited today to bring with me, Lisa, that is not going to work. Let's start over. 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome. I am so excited today to be with you and with our guest, Erica Wolf. Erica is a seasoned digital marketer, speaker, and an advocate for women. Yay, yay, yay. We love that. She's an author, and she is all about women's empowerment. She's an outdoor enthusiast and a mountain lover. I can't wait to get going with Erica. She's launching her new book soon called Cancer and Other Things I'm Grateful For. Why integrative medicine was her answer to healing the body, mind, and soul. That book will be released in 2023, and that is in the next probably month. The book chronicles her very personal battle with cancer and is a story about hope and survival. Welcome, Erica. I am so happy to invite you onto the So Much More Than Cancer Platform podcast today. And I just told everybody a little bit about you, and I'm sure you'll share more about who you are and your wonderful life in the mountains of Montana. And yes. I just want to say thank you in advance, because I just know that we are going to have a wonderful conversation that's going to not only inspire you and me, but everybody else listening. So welcome, welcome, as they say.
Thank you.
Benvenuto, a tutti benvenuto. Welcome to all.
Very nice. Thanks, Denise. Thank you so much for having me here. I love the name of your podcast. I loved what I read about it online, because you're right. People who are diagnosed with cancer aren't just about their diagnosis. And it's important, I think, to share the message of what we go through when we have a cancer diagnosis. But that's not everything about who we are. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. And I know what you do in the world. And I just gave that in the intro, so I don't want to be redundant. What I would like to start off with is if you could share with us a little bit, not all the gory details, but when you were diagnosed, what kind of cancer and what were some of the first things that came through? Because I know you took an approach that was more of a positive approach, but I always love to hear, because it's such a personal journey. And I believe everybody's story, no matter whether they've had cancer or they haven't, or they've known somebody, because none of us are immune to knowing at least a couple of people. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, happy to. So I think when I was first diagnosed, it wasn't quite a surprise, because I personally knew it in my heart many weeks or months before the diagnosis from the doctors came through. I had breast cancer. I had a mass about 5 centimeters in my left breast, and it had spread to the lymph nodes under that arm. When I first felt it, it was in a yoga class and it hurt. And I rushed home right away and started Googling. And everything you read online, or at least most of the stuff I read online, said that breast cancers don't hurt. There's usually not pain associated. Well, that didn't really give me any peace of mind whatsoever. I thought to myself, it doesn't matter what this is. It hurts and it's not right. So I need to get it checked out. Well, I went for my very first exam. The doctor said, you should have a thermogram to see what this is, and then we'll move on from there. So I went and had a thermogram. And when the technician said to me, hey, it's time to look at your results. But before we do, I just want to show you from other people's anonymous scans, this is what a normal scan looks like. It should be blue, purple, green, very cool and calm. This one over here was a woman who had very advanced breast cancer. The scan looks red, orange, yellow. That means there's blood supply going to an area in a concentrated way. And that's a concern. So she said, let's pull up your scan now. And we looked, and my right side was fine. It was blue, green, and purple. And my left side was red, bright red and orange. And I thought to myself right in that very moment, wow, I really do have breast cancer, don't I? And of course, she didn't diagnose me or even say anything like that. She just said, you'll need to have an ultrasound and we'll get you scheduled for that. And she moved me on through the process. But it was 6 weeks until I actually got a diagnosis from a doctor. It was an ultrasound. It was many mammograms, an MRI, a biopsy, and then finally the results from that. So I was shocked, but not when the diagnosis finally came in. I think I had time to let the shock sink in. And when the diagnosis finally came, I just was relieved and ready to move forward because I had an opportunity to sit there and prepare myself with looking up my insurance benefits, finding doctors to reach out to, all these things that I wasn't allowed to do until they diagnosed me and I had something concrete. And once that happened, boom, it was off to the races. I was just ready to start, really getting ahead of the game and being proactive about getting healthy.
Sure. And how did this inform your life from that moment on, as far as decisions you made, how you approached it, the kind of conversations you had with those inner voices? Tell me about that.
I think it was helpful in some ways that I had that period between when I knew it in my heart and the doctors said, yes, you have cancer. I think there was some space in there that allowed me to realize that there was something I could do. And even though the medical community wasn't going to move forward without a formal diagnosis, they wanted to know not only that it was malignant, but what kind and how advanced and all of those things. It gave me the opportunity to start seeing a psychotherapist, to start reading more about what kind of foods I should be ingesting, what kind of exercises were healthy for me to do, and just to make sure that I was doing everything I could. And then that mentality carried its way throughout all of my treatment, because even though cancer treatment is, I was going to all of the whole team of doctors throughout the process, there were other things I could do for myself, and then quickly realized that even though the oncology team was providing me with chemotherapy, I had a bilateral mastectomy, I had radiation, I went through reconstruction as well. There were things that were lacking for me. Those treatments are really harsh, as you know, and there are a lot of side effects. Aside from the obvious good side effects, there are some really harsh ones that hurt the body. And I wanted to make sure that by curing one thing, we weren't causing another. I was trying to make sure that I was staying healthy, because in my head, I wasn't just surviving. I didn't want to just hang on and make it through, grit my teeth and just be like, I need to fight this. I wanted to work with my body. And so that's when I started to look for complementary therapies that were going to help me with keeping my body healthy enough and my mind really positive enough and sane enough to manage through all of the difficult parts that I had to do.
Yeah. And you say that integrative medicine was really the answer to your healing, your body, mind, and soul and spirit. And for those listeners and people who, we attract all kinds of people, not just cancer people, but It doesn't matter. Some people, there's always something going on for somebody. So can you talk about what kind of therapies you did?
I sure can. Yeah. So, and I agree with you, Denise. It's, I feel like even now that I'm 8 years past this, I still do many of these therapies in my life. And it's not just for people who are going through a cancer diagnosis. But when I went through chemotherapy, it was acupuncture and Chinese herbs that were the most helpful to my body. I was having, all kinds of symptoms that were outside of what I normally felt. Pain is one thing. I think we all kind of are familiar with when you get hurt, but chemotherapy caused things that I didn't understand, like numbness of certain parts of my body, like my fingers and toes. It would feel both extra sensitive yet numb at the same time. I had cognitive impairment. I would just forget things. They call it chemo brain. It was just things were foggy and I would forget and I didn't know how to deal with those kinds of things. And because of the severity of the chemo as well, my digestion was severely affected and I had a hard knot in my stomach. Food tasted like metal. And I just wanted to find something that was going to help me cope. And it was acupuncture that helped me balance the energy in my body. And then the Chinese herbs that helped do things like cool the digestion. Balance the yin and the yang energy, which is like the heat and the cold or the wet and the dry. Those things need to be balanced in the body. Psychotherapy continued for me throughout and beyond treatment. And then once I had my mastectomy, I moved on into some more physical types of complementary treatments. Like I did physical therapy, manual therapy, yoga therapy. I did exercise therapy. I met with an exercise physiologist, craniosacral therapy, lymphatic drainage, all of these things because you have to keep the body moving. It's one thing for your body to rid itself of toxins and that the parts of the chemo that your body no longer needs, but I wanted to give it a boost. I wanted it to be able to do that a little more effectively. And so these things help me do that.
And you talk about being a woman's empowerment advocate. Have you gone on to get involved with helping women with empowerment around having a situation with this breast cancer, or has it extended into other areas? I know you're writing a book. Has it been published?
Yes, I am writing a book, Denise. So I would say that as far as being an advocate for women and wanting women to know how to empower themselves in this process, that's kind of what the book is about for me. And that's what I'm doing now. It's easy, I think, when you're going through a diagnosis to rely on your doctors and to rely on people around you to help you make decisions or even make them for you. But what I found was that, no matter how credible the information is or how strongly a doctor emphasizes something, if it doesn't feel right to you and right in your body, you have to stand up for yourself. And that doesn't always have to be, a loud shouting from the rooftops. I mean, it can be a very quiet resolve in your mind where you're like, this isn't right. I don't want to do this. And because I had doctors who were very against using any sort of cooling and soothing and healing lotions and creams on my skin while I was going through radiation, I was like, I can't go to this doctor. I know that this doesn't feel right to me. And I don't want to lie to my doctor, but I'm not going to go for 6 weeks of radiation without trying to keep my skin as healthy as it can be. That same doctor didn't want me to do physical therapy at that point. And the doctor I ended up using said, you really should be doing it then. That is when it is the most beneficial. And so I just thought to myself, you know what? There are probably so many women out there who just go with the first doctor. And not just women, but I'm talking about breast cancer. And so, but I think this happens for everyone. And maybe sometimes for women or women of a certain age, because they've been taught, we've been taught to trust doctors, trust men, trust older people, you know, and I think sometimes you have to just take a step back from that and think about, how does this feel to me? Like, when you bring that in to your heart and into your mind, does this feel right? And if it doesn't, speak up for yourself. And that's what I want the message to be out to women and to people really anywhere, is you just don't have to accept what is being told to you. It's up to you to make the decisions that are right for you, for your family, for your healing.
And that brings up such a good point, because I always tell my clients, you know, you have time. Okay. Someone says those words, you have cancer. Well, no one wants to hear that. Okay. No one among us wants to hear it. Yet how many people now, it's at epidemic proportions. Take your time, take a breath, take a few, get out of your head into your heart and feel, like you said, feel what is right for you and make decisions based on what resonates for you. I too did a plethora of alternative therapies. I hold a lot of certifications and licenses in many healing modalities, and I've had healing practice for years. And then it came time for me, and I'm like, oh, okay. And it's important. I really invite people, and I'm glad you talk about this, because that is empowering. When we give our power away, or we start acting like a victim and someone knows more, we're powerless. And for some reason, that is what happens, and rightfully so. It's a scary thing. There's no two ways about it. We've already determined that. Yet, you know, own your power and own the choices you make and own the decisions you make. They're not all always going to be perfect and right, but they're yours. And it's a good thing. So if you would take a minute or two or 10 and tell me about the book. Has it been published yet? I think it's coming out in the spring, which is right where we are now. Thank God.
Yes, it is coming out soon. It's due out in June. In fact, today I'm expected to have a UPS package waiting for me that has the author advanced copy. So that'll be my one last time to read through and make sure everything's good. And then from there we go to print. So yes, very exciting, super excited about that. The book. So the book started because, I'll back up for a second.
At the beginning, what's the name of the book?
It's called Cancer and Other Things I'm Grateful For. And the subtitle is Self-Advocacy, How Self-Advocacy and Integrative Medicine Led to Holistic Healing. Mm-hmm. So it really does encompass all of those things. I started to write a blog when I was first diagnosed, because I have a big family. I have a lot of friends all over the place, and I was trying to keep everyone updated, informed. And it was just, I was getting worn out. I was losing my voice. I couldn't return messages and phone calls fast enough. As you said, I was doing all kinds of interviewing of doctors, you know, a team here, a doctor there. And I was trying to get everything straight so that, you know, when we were ready to start treatment, I had my team in place. And so I thought, well, I feel like I just want to put this out there so everyone can know it. And luckily, you know, the internet's a great thing. And I started to write a blog, and at first it was just very informative. Here's what's happening. Here's what I know. And then it started to become so much more than that for me. It became a way, because I love writing. I'm in marketing and public relations as my career. I've been a writer my whole life. I've always enjoyed it. And it became a way for me to process what was happening to me. It wasn't just all about facts at that point. It started to become the feelings I was having. It was, you know, how were these emotions affecting me? What was I doing? What was I learning? And I think that's where the title of the book came in, this gratitude ideas, because it wasn't just cancer. Yes, you're right. I did not want to hear the diagnosis, but once I had it, I felt like there was so much I could learn from it. And then I appreciate everything about what I learned and what I endured during that time, that the experience itself is something that I don't regret. I'm thankful that I went through that. I'm thankful for everything that I became as a result. I'm a much more calm person. I don't have as much anxiety, the stress. I mean, yes, I think sometimes things get to me and I'm like, oh, I'm running late and I'm rushing around the house, but it's not that existential stress, and things are, you know, things are good. And I just want people to know, and I love that you talk about not just being a survivor, but to thrive, because I want people to know they can thrive through and beyond cancer. It's not just like, oh, I got to get through this. You can thrive while doing it. So that's all in the book. And what I love about the book for me is that it's not a retrospective. I didn't sit down and think, well, 8 years ago, what was I thinking? And then write that down on paper. It's a read in real time. You know, it was as I was going through it. And yes, there is other stuff about where I am now and some context and chapters that I've added and all of those sorts of things. But so much of it is based around what I was going through. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, you get a diagnosis and this starts. Well, I knew in October that I had probably cancer. And it wasn't until the day after Christmas that I finally had my first treatment.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a long time in there. And I just want people to know and understand, like you said, you know, take a breath, get your ducks in a row, figure out what you need. And it's not about being a victim or why me, because I think it's very natural for your mind to just go to like, why did this happen? I'm a runner. I'm a yogi. I'm a wellness coach. And why, when I'm 43, did this happen? We will probably never know. And that's okay. It's what you gain from these experiences and being grateful for that experience, even though it was something you never would have asked for. You didn't know, right? I didn't know what I needed. I didn't know what was going to make me wake up and feel these things and know these things. And I'm grateful that I had that.
Are you ready? I mean, really ready to take on the challenges in your life in a whole new way? Most people let challenges limit them. You know why? Because they don't know how not to. Challenges do not have to be limiting. It's time to learn to turn them into doorways of transformation. You just need a few tools. At least that's what I needed when I was challenged with stage 4 cancer. That's why I took the lessons learned and the tools I use to create this amazing, fun, online, self-paced course that will help you go through the doorways to find yourself on the other side, living your life fully expressed. The course is called Life because it's time for all of us to live in full expression. It's a short-term commitment with long-term benefits you deserve. For all the juicy details, click the link below or head over to my website, denisedesimone.com. For a generous discount, use the word podcast in the discount box. And gratitude is very important. I mean, it is the most, I believe, it's our doorway to grace. It's our doorway to grace and to be grateful for and in, not just for, but in the midst of situations and in the midst of the process of whatever the journey is. And I would say, or I would ask you, would you say that this invitation, because I do think cancer is an invitation, helped you be more gentle with yourself and decide and be more in the moment? You know, I always say, cancer was the best present I ever received because it taught me to be present, you know?
Yes.
Be in the presence, you know? Mm-hmm. And that, people listening, don't wait till you get cancer. You don't have to wait. You know, just do it now. Count your blessings and be in the presence of the presence and know that being in the moment and loving yourself to the point when we beat ourselves up so much, just easy. Like you said, all stressed out. Hey, I'm late. Okay. I'm late. That's, you know, in Buddhism, they say all suffering comes from resisting reality. Well, that was our reality. That was your reality. So what would you say that you really learned that in the moment, that lesson?
Yeah, I would definitely say that being more present was something that I was not, I was always doing yoga. I wanted to make sure that I was not just practicing the poses, but the whole concept of yoga and that, you know, being in the moment. And it's a noble practice to always keep going back to it, but I would slide out of that so easily and stress mm-hmm. about, am I doing the right thing for my kids? Am I doing the right thing for myself? You know, thinking about things in the past, worrying about things in the future. And I really, at some point, you know, you don't have a choice but to think about today. I need to get through today. I'm feeling all of these negative physical things. I need to get through today. But I started to quickly realize, like you said, being grateful at the time. So even though at the time, I didn't know if the chemo was working yet, I didn't know what was going to come, but I started to just think to myself, what do I have already that I can be thankful for? Well, I have doctors. I have people who are helping me. I have my family. I have a comfortable bed to lie in while I'm doing this. I have food to eat. I have, you know, all of the things that you don't think about being grateful for until, like, what if that was suddenly gone? What if all of a sudden the medical insurance was gone, or, you know, something happened to my husband's job, whatever it was. You know, I don't want to look back and say, I should have been grateful for that. Be thankful in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the biggest thing that I learned was gratitude in the moment and not just as an afterthought, and also gratitude for things that I didn't ask for, right? It's easy to be thankful when it's like, oh, here's a gift. And you're like, thank you so much. This is great. Well, we don't always know what's coming. And I think sometimes we have to be thankful for those things that come our way.
Yeah. Especially
when you didn't want it.
When you're willing and open to learning lessons, some people aren't. And, you know, it's a good thing because it's a good thing to be grateful because it's never going to be, and I don't want it to be, and you don't seem like you want it to be. I don't want a Pollyanna kind of life. I want the stuff coming at me because I've sharpened the tools in my spiritual tool bag to be able to say, okay, well, it's coming at me. How I react to it, react and create have the same letters. How I react to it is how I'm going to recreate how I want it to be. And I'm going to create something in a way that supports me. And in the meantime, yeah, there's some crazy stuff. You know, in January, February, I had a myriad of crazy stuff. Like, I don't even want to get into it. I talked about it in the first episode. If you guys listen and want to go back and you haven't heard it, it was nuts. People were saying, like, what the heck? And I'm like, bring it on. There's a blessing somewhere in every one of these things. And in the meantime, I'm never going to be at the acme of a pure, you know, unaffected life. But I am going to be at the acme of enough self-love and to know time to count my blessings and to look for the blessing in all of it. And I believe that, you know, when you do go, I wish no one ever had to go through another cancer diagnosis. Yet, I in my book, From Stage 4 to Center Stage, I talk about, you know, I would never want someone to go through what I went through and have a feeding tube for 9 months and not be able to speak or talk or eat or sing or drink water for months. I had to go back, I had to learn how to eat again, eating baby food. I would never want, and you know, you had a rigorous, that treatment and a mastectomy. I mean, God bless you. But to live like you're dying, even for one day, there is a palpable energy that brings you deep into your human spirit, right?
Yes.
I mean, absolutely. There's nothing, it's ineffable. You cannot describe it. It's just, I don't know. I wish people could have that without having to go through what we went through, but it's kind of.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I found myself often trying to shift that energy from survival mode into, you know, thriving, because it was not just, you know, because of the physical things I was feeling, but when your mind gets in a stuck, you know, it's stuck in a rut, and your pattern of thinking gets you going in the wrong direction. You have to bring that back, and you can retrain it. You can tell yourself, you know, you can either think negatively and watch your emotions devolve and become depressed and all of those things. We've seen that happen far too many times. People become, you know, they have panic attacks and things that don't have a basis in a physical diagnosis, but it's a mental process that happens. Well, why not the opposite? Why not think so positively that you get out of that rut? And you actually shift the energy that you feel and the energy you exude. And it's a domino effect in the positive way.
And it ain't that easy, because we're humans, and humans are on the side of negativity. And I always ask people, I do a lot of speaking around the country, and I put courses together on my website. And my whole thing is, you know, think about what you think about. And most people never thought about it. It's just like, people don't think about what they think about, because all this stuff is just running. It's like, oh, whoa, that's what I mean. You got some time. Yep. Take the time. And I've incorporated this thing called the 3 P's. Pause for personal peace. Take a pause for personal peace. I don't care if you set your timer on your phone for every 3 hours. Just take a minute and say, what have I been thinking about? Mm-hmm. I need some inner peace. I'm going to stop right now and just pay attention and think about what I'm thinking about. And then just go on. And don't beat yourself up for anything negative, because just reach for the next good thought. That's what I say.
For sure. Well, yeah, and I think it's easy when you get into cancer treatment too, to feel like, well, I have to do this. I write about this somewhere in my book, that I wasn't ready for my mastectomy. I had my chemo first. It was very successful. When I got ready to have my mastectomy, that gave me real pause. And I knew that I wanted to do it. I was given a choice with tons of caveats. They were telling me that they didn't recommend a single mastectomy. They didn't recommend lumpectomy, but it was in the end my choice. I chose to have a bilateral mastectomy. And I felt like I wanted to give myself that latitude to be both scared to death and ready to do it, and cry sometimes and be ready other times, and find this place where, like you said, we're human and it's not easy. It's not like I said, well, let's just, you know, yeah, let's go have some surgery, everyone. No one wants that. And it took a lot for me to go to my therapist on a regular basis. She gave me techniques, guided imagery, grounding tools, different things to help myself feel ready for the surgery. And it took me, I think I focused solely on getting ready for that surgery for at least a month from the time my chemo ended until the surgery began. And once it happened, I really was at peace with that decision. But there was a time in my life where I would have thought, suck it up, Erica. You know what? You got to do this. Like, stop. What are you going to whine and complain about it? Well, yeah, I might whine and complain a little bit. I mean, not to everybody in the whole world, but to myself, I'm allowed to feel what I feel. I don't think that we get anywhere by ignoring that. I just don't think we can dwell in that and devolve from there. So I knew that getting my mind right was going to help me get through the surgery, but it took some time.
Yeah.
And it's real effort. It's not just, well, I'll eventually feel okay about this. I had to be proactive in that and seek out ways and people who could help me, because I didn't know. And I wanted someone who knew to teach me, how can I feel okay about this? How can I go into this with the right mental attitude? And we talked through so many things, and I worked through it, and meditation and guided imagery, to a point where it felt okay.
And the enormity of that situation deserves that time.
Absolutely.
And we deserve that much self-love. That's true self-care.
Yep.
We really, really do. And I want people listening to understand wherever you're at, I don't care if you have cancer, you know somebody that has it. You are a human being on this planet in a dense body. Know that whatever your situation, and people will, always compare, well, oh, my situation couldn't come close to what you went through. Don't do that. Your situation is your situation. Nobody,
Absolutely.
I went through what I went through. You went through what you went through. People are going through stuff every day, which we can't even compare. We're living in an upheaval right now, where energetically things in the planet are trying to balance themselves out. Well, what that's bringing is a lot of stuff on the extreme negative, and a whole bunch more stuff on the extreme positive. And as the human race comes to find a place of homeostasis, if you will, there's a lot of things that allow and need, just allow the space that we all need. Because the peace on earth we're looking for has to begin within ourselves, no matter what the situation. Once we handle that, then we can start to create and magnify and magnetize all of that energy on the planet. And it starts with us, no matter what situation we're faced with. So I just thank you for coming on and being with us.
Yes.
And I'm so excited. Will you let me know when your book is out? And I'll just make an
Absolutely. Yes, it's due
announcement.
out June 27th is the date. Again, the name is Cancer and Other Things I'm Grateful For. And yeah, I'll certainly let you know, Denise. Thank you so much for having me on today. I love talking to you,
Do
and
you have a
I wish
website,
you
honey?
the best.
Do you have a website?
It's in development, but I have the name. It's Erica, Erika dash Wolf, Wolf dot com.
Okay.
You can also find me on my socials, so I can pass those along to you because
Yeah,
I'm
and
on
I'll.
LinkedIn, I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Instagram, and I'm happy to give you my handles there. So anyone who wants to find out about where they can buy the book or learn more about me or ask me a question, I'll help where I can.
Yeah, and send me all of those things, and I'll put them everybody. You just look, click on the episode and go down in the show notes, and you'll be able to get in touch with Erica. And I wish you all the best. I remember the day that my author's copy came. Oh, Lord, it was exciting. It was great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Denise.
Well, you celebrate today. You deserve it. You're a lovely, lovely soul among us, and I just want to bless you and know that your book's going to do amazing things for a lot of people. So everybody, thanks for being with us, and look for Erica Wolf in your travels.
To learn so much more about Denise, please visit her website at denisedesimone.com. While there, you can purchase a copy of her best-selling book, From Stage 4 to Center Stage. Watch her widely viewed documentary by the same name, and check out copies of her many CDs. You will also find information about her life-changing online program called LIFE, which stands for Live in Full Expression. You can also find Denise on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Please remember to share, subscribe, and leave a review. Until next time, stay well.